today on the show, a phone call. It's with a woman who sews spacesuits, real spacesuits, that have actually been used in space. Guadalupe Morris immigrated from the United States as an adult and eventually found herself learning the ropes from the women who made the Apollo program suits for the first people who were on the moon. She's since gone on to work on a suit intended to one day be used on Mars, and she said I could call her.
Okay, I'm here.
That's perfect. That's so much better.
Okay.
So, Guada, you came over, you were born in the Philippines, right?
Yes, I was born in the Philippines.
And when did you leave the Philippines to come to the United States?
I left in 1981. So that was March 2nd, 1981, when I left the Philippines. And I was in San Francisco for a while. And then I got married and moved to Delaware.
And so what was it that made you want to leave the Philippines?
It was an opportunity to work for a company in San Francisco. I could mention that right now, but that was, I was picked by a company in San Francisco to work there. And so when my visa got approved, after 3 years of waiting.
Wow.
It took a while around those times. It was a lot of red tapes, but that's how I got here.
What kind of work were you doing in the Philippines? Was this already doing sewing stuff?
No, actually not. My history in sewing was actually my father wanted me to be like his mom, who apparently, you know, I didn't witness that, but she used to be the special seamstress for one of the presidents of the Philippines.
Oh, really?
And my father was actually a presidential guard to the, President Ramon Magsaysay. And apparently my grandma was a good sewer, so she is personally been asked by the president to make his, like a Filipino, they call it Barong Tagalog, and he only likes the way how my grandma makes it.
Really?
Yes. So my father actually sent me to a vocational school to learn how to sew, and I was not good at it.
You weren't?
No, I wasn't at all. My projects, I think they were horrible, and I don't remember getting good grades, so it wasn't my cup of tea. I always liked to build houses. So,
oh, really?
I venture into, that was my, everything that's like, cars, like auto mechanic and building construction. That's I was always a tomboy, but I was a very, as a Filipino, you have to follow your elders and your father. So I wanted to please him, and so I took the vocational course at that time and for sewing, but I was terrible. Kind of like ironic that I'm doing right now.
Do you think your interest in auto mechanics and building buildings at all, having that wider interest in building things, has helped you with your work now?
I think so because building spaces is more technical, and I think that got my interest. It's not just like you're sewing dresses and, it's totally different. It's more a responsibility to make sure you do it right because a life is at stake if you do it wrong.
Okay. Okay. So you're in the Philippines. You were at the vocational school. This was when you were, what, 18 or something?
Oh, gosh, no. It was up. I was younger than that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was like high school, but it was for learning a trade or a skill.
Exactly. Yeah.
Was that common in the Philippines for people to do that for their high school years?
Not really. It's actually, you know, well, it's considered, you know, most of the time, you know, Filipinos are, you know, like academic, you know, they want to be nurses, they want to be teachers, they, you know, so it's almost like a downgrade if you go on a vocational school.
Okay, so eventually you did become a good enough sewer to get a job offer in the United States.
Well, sort of like that, you know, like, you know, so I have to move to Delaware from San Francisco. I have to leave that company that I initially brought me here because I got married. And I also, you know, I have a child, got pregnant, and but, you know, I was a stay-home mom until, you know, there's a need that I have to go to work. And, you know, this company is like 15 minutes away from where I was staying, you know, where we were living in Milford, Delaware. And I applied. Actually, it wasn't initially sewing. It was at the time we were building decelerators for, you know, like bomb decelerators, like Mr. Bill?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I was working at night, so I don't have to, you know, like have a complete babysitter, you know, because, like I said, I was a stay-home mom. And then a job opening for what we call the space shuttle department. We call it shuttle, open up, and you know, it requires sewing, and of course, I said, you know, of course, it piques my interest, you know, like seeing all these ladies, you know, really, you know, the very elegant looking women, you know, that you see on the hallway, and I say, what do they do? You know, like, oh, they are the shuttle people, and you know, they have a certain aura about them. And then there was a job opening to work in shuttle, and I said, I'll try. I said, you know, you take the test, and, you know, which I happened to pass. You know, it's a sewing test, and it's more technical sewing test. And so, you know, that was in 1988, and, you know, I got to work with these wonderful ladies that, you know, that's so, you know, like the pride of, you know, what they do, you know, is instilled in me from the get-go.
For Our Money today, the picture of the day came from NASA. Close-up shots of the moon showing some of the Apollo landing sites. They were taken by an orbiter 15 miles above the surface. One shows the footprints left by the Apollo 17 astronauts back in 1972.
You know, basically I was mentored by several of them. You know, one is Iona Allen, who made the first, you know, the boots that landed on the moon.
Wow.
Yeah, she was, you know, she's quite an interesting lady, and it's a team of wonderful ladies that, you know, that put the man on the moon.
So you applied for this job with the very elegant shuttle team.
And yes.
I'm just imagining for myself to be a part of a project that has such significance to the entire species, or just the story of being human. Part of it is that we went to space. And so for me, I just think, well, I am the same species as those people who went to space. But you actually are, with your own hands, putting the stitches into the thing that's going into space.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, it makes you feel special and privileged, grateful, thankful. There are other people that could have had this, and I happen to be one of them. So
you have some involvement with a spacesuit that might one day be used on Mars. Is that right?
Yes, I did. I spent a good amount of time in Texas, in Houston, specifically for the Mars exploration. That's really an exciting, you know, like I might not be here when it happens, but, you know, it's a wonderful experience to be able to be a part of that.
What do you think that would feel like if it did happen in your lifetime and you knew that some of those stitches that were on Mars were your own?
That would be awesome. You know, just thinking about it, imagining it, that will be an indescribable feeling. Little stitches that you do means a life is at stake. You know, when you are working in this trade, you worry about the recipient of what you do. You meet them, they are person, they are fathers, sons, daughters, mothers that are using, you know, that's going to be using this. It's just like, you know, Alan Eustace, the one that went up to the stratosphere. You know, I was so worried, you know, you want to make sure that he comes back alive, you know, and he's got children and a wife. It will be.
If you're having trouble remembering, Alan Eustace is the late 50-year-old computer scientist who jumped from the stratosphere in the blackness of space. If you can imagine this, he went into the desert in New Mexico and laid in a face-down position in a suit that Guadalupe worked on. And he was pulled up by a balloon which was attached to his back. It sort of looks like he's wearing a backpack or something, and there's a balloon attached to it. And so he faced downwards towards the Earth, and he was brought higher and higher and higher to the elevation of a transcontinental airliner, still facing down, looking down at the Earth. But he was, at that point, he was only a quarter of the elevation that he would hit eventually. And once he was, it looks like space, he ditched the balloon and dove back to the Earth. Why do you think that exploration is important?
I think, you know, as anybody, you know, like the beginning of history, you know, people are exploring, finding things. We are who we are because of exploration. I think we got to find a new way of, you know, what is the next? I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know, but I just have to say that, you know, like we always have to look for things. We always have to experiment. Yeah.
Yeah, there seems to be something in us that has that desire. And in some ways, you kind of look at us compared to other animals, for example, and you think, oh, they can survive in the cold without, you know, without having to put on a jacket kind of thing. But the fact that we have thought about materials and thought about different technology has been our kind of evolutionary advantage.
You know, human beings are amazing species.
Yeah.
But we gotta evolve. We're building new rockets to make it easier to go to Mars. You know, right now it's almost impossible because, you know, and then there's I think a new rover is there to do some experiments because there's some substance there that, you know, meaning that there was a time there was life in Mars. You know, I don't know. We have to find, you know, that's what humans are. You know, we always have this continuous curiosity.
So are there spacesuits in space right now as we're talking that have stitches that you sewed in them?
I you know, the probably the last time I made a space suit that's in the space was 2000, 2001. Because transitionally, I did like the training, like I said, the training for the next gen of sewers. And then, of course, after 2008, I started venturing. You know, I needed, you know, they needed help for the development of the next generation spacesuit.
Right.
So the only thing that I have there, probably, like personally, is probably the HAPS, which is the absorption pads in the helmet.
They have your stitches in them?
I could honestly say that.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
What was it like when you first realized that for sure there were some of your stitches in space?
It's almost like an outer body, you know, say, oh, okay, you know, I did something that is up there. The first part of the suit that I made is a scissors pocket, and it's something that holds literally a scissor that they have to use during their spacewalk. But the moment I made something that's like, oh, it's class one, it's deliverable. We call it deliverable. Wow, it made it.
Yeah.
You know, because even that small item is scrutinized. I mean, scrutinized, it's tested, it's inspected.
Even the scissors pocket.
Yeah, even the scissors pocket, you got to make sure it's got the right insulation, you know, the layer of insulations are there. And if you even miss, like, you know, the specific stitches per inch, you know, you could, you know, they would not accept it. Yeah, they're, you know, it's a very stringent process.
I can appreciate the challenge. I'm looking at some curtains right now in my the home office that I'm recording out of here. A friend of mine brought me these curtains because she thought that I needed them, but she also didn't want them anymore because they were so frustrating for her to sew that she cried at the sewing machine.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I had instances like that when I started. You know, like, you know, we needed this item really bad. And what do you know, on the final stage, I nick it, you know, completely scrap the whole thing. And it will take about 2 or 3 weeks to rebuild it. So
wow.
I had my crying time. Oh, I did. I literally did.
Yeah.
And the whole thing had to be redone. And now, crying, yes, I did. I did. I did.
You were saying that a glove will have 200 pieces in it, 200 cut pieces?
Plus and minus, probably. Yeah. Probably more. Yeah.
I have a pair of gloves on the go here that I was trying to make for myself last winter.
Uh-huh.
They're actually two pieces.
Oh, no, no, no.
So the astronauts don't want to use my mittens then?
Yeah, they're very particular. So.
They won't like my rabbit fur.
Yeah, gotta see it.
I'll have to send you a picture
for
inspection.
Yeah, you gotta send me a picture of it. And then I'll say, oh,
So last week, I was building an outhouse. And I was trying to make it a really nice outhouse, you know, a pleasant experience to be in there, doing your business in the woods like that.
Uh-huh.
It was funny. I haven't done many building projects like that. I haven't done a lot of carpentry. And mm-hmm. ever since I did that project, I've been looking at other people's carpentry, other people's choices in the design process or the building process. Has the fact that you've worked on a glove or these other components, does it influence your thinking when you're just walking around in everyday life? Like, oh man, these gloves are so poorly designed and they put these stitches in wrong and all this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're more critical. You're more critical of your daily wear, actually. Any product that has, like a woman, a handbag, you scrutinize it.
You still have family in the Philippines?
I do. Most of them are still there. Yeah.
And what do they think of what you do?
I think if my father's gone now, my mom probably couldn't believe, because they know I did not have much patience, and they know my grades when I was doing the vocational school. I said, hey, I'm making spaces. I say, yeah, it's unreal, because, you know, you didn't do very well. I didn't, but it's a pride.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
You have a great week.
Yeah, you
and
too.
I'm glad that we got in touch.
Yeah, so am I. Thank you. Well, that's it for this episode. On this episode, you heard music from Apparat Organ Quartet, Holly Ruth and the Grey Jays, Royal Canoe, Tom Keenan, and right now you're listening to Les Jupes. Thank you very much for listening.